Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Around the circle.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk.
Happy July 4th. Happy birthday to David. It's another crossover podcast. It's been over a week since Ole Miss won a national championship. But we're back at it. We don't stop. But it's birthday boys time. What's up, man?
Man, doing good. Glad to be up so early this morning. And, glad to be 51 years old today. I feel like I'm 31, so I'm blessed.
51 years young is what you say. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, 51 years young with an 8-year-old, a 22-year-old, and a 24-year-old. And at some point today, all three will be here. My daughter went to Austin and Dallas for the weekend. But if she catches her flight, which is kind of a 50-50 proposition if you're flying nowadays – she will be back in Oxford around 7 o'clock this evening. So looking forward to having all three under the same roof.
Yeah, flying right now is an absolute mess. I've done it. I was fortunate going to Omaha. I didn't have any delays, but, man, it's like a zoo out there. Flying's terrible.
Yeah, you never know if your plane's going to get there, if it's going to leave. Just kind of how it is. It might be easier to put $5 gasoline in your car. And just drive.
We're positive vibes only today, David. We're positive vibes only. Ole Miss is still a week removed from a tie.
You're right.
Yeah. July 4th and your birthday. Come on now.
Yeah, I've had Fox News on for 2 hours. So
Well,
I've seen guys jump from an airplane in Ohio with an American flag. They're live on scene at the USS Constitution in Boston. That's about to set sail for its annual 4th of July trip. And gas is $5 a gallon, and you can't get an airplane anywhere.
How do you celebrate July 4th, typically?
You know what, man? We kind of did it last night. I had family over, and we grilled, Boudin sausage being the main dish there. Sit around and drink a lot of beer. That's kind of what we did today. No plans. I'm getting in the car tomorrow and putting $5 gasoline in it and going to Hot Springs, Arkansas for a few days. My last respite before football season is officially here. And it kind of is here already. I mean, we've had what now? Eight days to soak in being national champions for baseball. And obviously we're going to keep keen eyes on that program, but it's time for football, right? I mean, we kick off in, I think, 63 days, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the reason why it feels like it's gotten here so quickly is because typically Ole Miss fans have turned their attention to football weeks ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and we were prepared to do it again, right? At the end of May, we were about to roll out a whole bunch of football copy, and nothing earth-shattering, but just analysis and breakdown and things like that. And Lord have mercy, baseball wouldn't let us do it. They kept winning, kept playing. You know, it was kind of funny. I ran into the parent of a Southern Miss baseball player yesterday. And, we were talking a little bit about the regional – this guy's a big Ole Miss fan. His son just happened to get a scholarship to Southern Miss. And, his whole take on it was, well, at least we still had somebody to pull for when we got knocked out. And that's amazing. And by the way, national championship T-shirts, okay, because today is my birthday. So my wife took me uptown yesterday to buy me something. And I was like, well, let me go get one of these national championship t-shirts. And I'm not going to mention any names of where I went, but the first place I went, which is kind of a place I felt obligated to go, do you know how much a national championship t-shirt is? Just take a guess.
$34.99.
$40.
Yeesh.
$40.
You woke up in a mood on July 4th and your birthday.
Well, I'm just saying. I know how much it costs to make a screen-printed t-shirt. It's about $4. That's t-shirt, ink, everything. $40 freaking dollars.
Did you get one, though?
No. No, I did not. Then
you crotchety old man.
Listen, I end up at another establishment. Their t-shirts were $30. And I'm like, okay, $10 cheaper than the first place I went. I said, but I'm still not going to get it because I have an issue with this place. That's besides the point. Okay, so we end up in Walmart, of all places. Walmart, $20 for a national championship t-shirt, but typical Walmart wear, you could look at it and tell it's a wash one time, might as well throw it away kind of deal. So we didn't buy the $20 one either. So anyway, I got a couple of generic t-shirts, a pair of swim trunks because we're going to the water park in Hot Springs, taking Tori there. And man, a lot of good food last night, good conversation, good company with people I love. So it has been a great birthday. But I just wanted to say, I love the Ole Miss Rebels. You're crazy as hell if you pay $40 for a t-shirt. That's all I got to say.
On your birthday, on July 4th, you say you have a great day, but you spent the first 6 minutes of a podcast with your friend, Ben, who loves you.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm done, Ben. I'm done. Okay. I'm done.
All right.
I have had my say.
Football is coming up. It's the only thing really to talk about right now. We could talk about recruiting. Ole Miss baseball, for example, just picked up a commitment from Will Plattner. He's a catcher out of Illinois. And Ole Miss is viewing him as the backup to Calvin Harris, the replacement for Knox Lepasser, who's in the portal. But let's be honest, baseball roster construction, they've won a national championship. We're going to pay attention to it. We're going to cover it. We're going to talk to the people. We're going to give you the information that you want on our sites, on the Ole Miss Spirit and on Inside the Rebels. But right now, it's kind of feeling like football time, like you said, because I look around and try to figure out, all right, what do we do now from a cover standpoint? And outside of recruiting and football, it's the dead time. So now's a good time to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. That's good.
Yes, the only time we've got left, of course, SEC Media Days, right around the corner now, July 18th. You know, we're going to be on site covering that this year. And, you know, that's kind of the official kickoff, but it's time. It's time to start talking about football and this Ole Miss team. And, you know, you posed an interesting question to me before we started the podcast. I'll let you pose it again, and let's move on from there.
Okay. So what I was thinking is, because you and I still are talking about the national championship, I feel like every Ole Miss fan is, but there's some storylines that kind of are applicable to Ole Miss football. And you might think it's a stretch, Ole Miss fan, but hear me out. For example, who's the captain of this Ole Miss football team? Who will be the captain of this Ole Miss football team? Because Tim Elko was the captain of Ole Miss baseball for 3 years and certainly the face of their run. Who will be the player or players, I guess, that emerged midway through the year, like Dylan DeLucia, didn't get into the rotation until April and then became irreplaceable? Who is that for football? There are many through lines that we could take from baseball and apply it to football that's coming up, that's happening right now, that's on its way. And, you know, once August hits, it's just a full-on sprint until December. So let's start there. Who is the captain of this football team? Because Matt Corral is gone. And I was thinking about this because we're now trying to rewire ourselves after spending well over a month every single day talking about Ole Miss baseball. It's kind of hard to do. But who is the captain of this football team? Because I look around and Matt Corral's not here. Sam Williams isn't here. Mm-hmm. I've got some candidates in mind, but with all the new faces and with how many big-time players they lost, even though they replaced them with, quote, big-time players out of the portal, like Zach Evans at running back, whatever. I don't know who the captain is. Who's the captain, Dave?
Yeah, I'm not sure Lane Kiffin could answer that question right now because of all the new blood that's in the program. And generally, when you talk about a captain, you're talking about a guy that's got a couple of years vested under his belt, like a Matt Corral. I mean, there was no doubt in anybody's mind that was Matt Corral's football team last year and even the year before. This year, it's an enigma. I mean, we're sitting here early July, and we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. You know, is it Jackson Dart that all this hype was placed on coming in? Or is it Luke Altmaier, who stayed here and worked and essentially left spring ahead of Jackson Dart in the quarterback battle, at least from what our eyes saw? And, you know, so will it be one of those guys, the guy that wins that battle? Will he become the leader of this football team? You know, I kind of like Luke Altmaier as a leader. You know, he has, he's taken a gut punch a couple of times and he's still here. Most people thought, well, Ole Miss is bringing in this arm that, you know, inevitably they paid money for to come in here and Jackson Dart. So Altmaier is going to be the backup if he stays. Luke Altmaier didn't see it that way, obviously. He stayed, he fought, and he came out ahead of Jackson Dart at the end of spring. Now, that may not be fair to Jackson Dart because Dart still had bags unpacked when spring practice was going on. He had one foot in Oxford. So, you know, as he gets comfortable with the situation here, gets more comfortable, gets into the playbook, as Lane Kiffin said he needed to, you know, we may see a different Jackson Dart in fall camp. But, you know, so, you know, either one of those guys could possibly be it. You know, Ben, and let's just be honest with everybody, we really don't know the personalities of all these new guys that have come in right now. We don't know that if they're just heck of a players and not much of a locker room voice, but we don't know if they have great locker room voices. We just don't know. So it is really difficult to pick out a guy who is going to become the, you know, will be that, you know, as you said, a leader this fall. On the defensive side of the ball, I got a dark horse favorite in J.J. Pegues, just because I know how talented he is. I know what kind of impact he's going to make on the defensive line. And look, they're going to play J.J. some at H-back, fullback, and a tight end on offense. So, you know, this is a guy who's going to have a limited role on the offensive side of the ball, is going to be a star, I think, on the defensive side of the ball. And he knows Ole Miss football better than anybody on that roster, because I can tell you from the time he was in eighth grade through his senior year, he was at just about every game inside Vaught Hemingway Stadium because he grew up here in Oxford. So, you know, he's a guy I think that guys could easily fall in behind, and he could become a leader, if not for the whole team, at least for the defense. But other than that, you know, you've got A.J. Finley in the secondary. A.J. is kind of a quiet guy, well-spoken, thinks before he says things. I can see A.J. becoming a leader in that locker room too. But that's a hell of a question, Ben, because I don't think anybody knows the answer to it right now. That's something like the quarterback situation that is going to have to play out in front of our very eyes.
Well, there's no obvious guy. I was going through the roster as you were talking. Cedric Johnson is one of them. But Ced's got to be an every down, not dominant guy, but he certainly can't be a role player and then try to be the loudest voice in the locker room. It's just hard to do.
But yeah, let's be honest here. Yeah. Let's be honest. It's going to be hard for a defensive player to assume the mantle of the face of the team, the voice of the team, the leader of the team. It's probably going to have to be somebody from the offensive side of the ball, and it's likely going to have to be one of those two quarterbacks.
And I think Luke Altmaier starts game one against Troy, and then Jackson Dart's the quarterback for the vast majority of the season, and both quarterbacks are on campus until the end of the year. But if that isn't settled until well into the season, then who? Because you look at wide receivers, Jonathan Mingo, that's never really been his personality. He can't stay on the field. Nick Broeker, maybe? Nick Broeker's got that attitude about him a little bit.
Yeah, he's an offensive lineman, though. He's an offensive lineman. And you know I love offensive linemen. And Nick certainly has the attributes to do that. But, you know, it's hard for an offensive lineman to be that guy just because, he's putting his hand in his dirt and he's moving people every play, never scores a touchdown. That's difficult. Very, very difficult. I mean, Jeremy James is probably the most talented player on the offensive side of the football, if not for the entire team. And at least in my eyes, he is. But Jeremy, knowing Jeremy, Jeremy's just kind of got a quiet, quirky personality. He's not going to be that guy either.
Yeah, he's not going to be that guy. Maybe Michael Trigg can be that guy, but he can't be that guy right now. Or he's not that guy right
now. No, he can't be that guy. He's too new. He's going to have to really shine to have a voice in that locker room. He would have to have some outstanding games, which I think he will. Back to a point you made, you think Luke Altmyer starts against Troy and then Jackson Dart takes over. I beg to differ there. If Luke Altmyer starts against Troy, he's going to have a tremendous game. It's going to make it impossible to pluck him from the starting lineup, at least after one game.
Because then it's Central Arkansas. And who's after Central Arkansas?
I don't know, but Altmyer, if he starts the first two, I bet you he's thrown for 600 yards and 10 touchdowns two games into the season.
Just because certainly it's a soft schedule. And yeah, that's what good quarterbacks do against lesser competition.
Well, in Lane Kiffin's offense and his system, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're not doing full read progressions as a quarterback in Lane Kiffin's offense. And that's some of the knock on Matt Corral, why he dropped into the third round, is can he go through full progressions because he didn't do it in college. And, in Lane Kiffin's offense, if you've got superior personnel and you don't screw it up, you're going to put up big numbers.
De'Andre Prince, could he be one of those guys?
I like De'Andre, and I've covered him since he was at Charleston, Mississippi High School. But I just don't know if De'Andre has that that gravitas around him.
Man, there are very few candidates as I'm going through the roster. There's not obvious candidates. Like, I could see Ulysses Bentley being a guy because of his personality, but he's too new right now. Tysheem Johnson makes a lot of sense, but he's a sophomore. This is a hard exercise. Here's the second one, though. Who could be their Dylan DeLucia, who doesn't really come on until midway through the season and then becomes irreplaceable? Who is that?
That's a great question. Depends on where you consider the starting point. You know, a guy that I think is set for in prime for a great season and is going to make a lot of money, you've already mentioned him, is Cedric Johnson. I think Cedric Johnson, by the fifth game of the year, people in the SEC, they're going to consider him one of the most feared pass rushers in this league. So I would start right there. Dylan DeLucia, though, the guy you're not expecting much from. I'll tell you who could be that guy. Jonathan Mingo could be that guy if he stays healthy. He has all the tools. I could see that happening.
Here's one for you, and I feel like we've been saying this for years. Actually, I'll give you a pull. Damon Clowney, Jack Brown, Austin Keys, Brandon Mack.
Clowney?
Yeah, I can see Clowney. Clowney's the one.
Yeah, I think Clowney is ready. I think it's taken a little time, but I do think he's ready. I think he could. I think Damon Clowney's going to show up in some games this year.
Yeah, 100%. I think DeMont.
Too bad his first name is not pronounced Demon. I would love to call him Demon Clown. It's spelled just like Demon.
It is. He was a starter throughout the entire spring, and he was playing linebacker, like a stand up linebacker, rush in type of deal. And he was good at it, and he looks different. Because the whole thing when he got here was not the recruiting pedigree, but his size. He was thin, and now he's not thin anymore. He looks like an SEC ready edge rusher. Like, when you stare at him now, you go, oh, I can see that now. I can see it.
Yeah, and great bloodlines, great last name, great first name. It's probably my favorite name on the whole team. But to be honest with you, yeah, I mean, man, Clowney, I think we're going to see some things out of him this year. I really and truly do. I like where he's at.
Can I sell you on Danish Jackson being that guy, being Dylan DeLucia?
Nope. And it's not a knock against Danis, but look, how long has Danis been in this program? 4 years now?
He's a senior, a six-year senior, COVID senior. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, Mingo's been here a long time, too. But, you know, generally speaking, a guy's been in the program a couple of years. If he's got superstar potential, you will have seen it show up in games by now. There would have been some kind of flashing. And not an indictment against Danis, but you asked me a hard question. We'll give you a hard answer. I think he's a role receiver for the Rebels. And look, you can mop up some stats as a role receiver for Ole Miss. But as far as having a superstar type season, I don't see it. I don't think so.
I think I figured out who's going to be their Dylan DeLucia. It's going to be Kari Please Coleman. Don't. It's going to be Kari.
Could very well be. Absolutely. Love this kid. He's got some solid NFL potential. And, again, here we are talking about defensive linemen again.
Yeah.
They're stacked on the defensive line.
They really
and
are.
I don't think the rest of the SEC media has really tuned into that just yet. But the defensive line is going to be a strong suit for Ole Miss. So I got a question for you. Where will the media pick Ole Miss to finish in the West this year?
Probably fourth, like they always do.
So Alabama's first.
Yeah.
It's going to be LSU second, probably.
Why?
And then it's either going to be, I think, Arkansas or Ole Miss third. Oh, shoot. We're not even thinking about A&M.
Yeah,
Alabama,
second.
Texas A&M, LSU. Yeah. So Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU, Ole Miss or Arkansas will be four.
I actually think I would go Alabama, A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State. No, I put Mississippi State above Auburn.
I got Ole Miss third behind Alabama and A&M. Arkansas, look, I mean, KJ Jefferson's a great quarterback. But, you know, my question
sure?
with KJ is he not bumping his ceiling?
Yeah, are we sure he's a great – are we sure he's
yeah,
just –
he's a great quarterback. He's
a really good quarterback, but this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he has any more upside to grow very much anymore. I think he kind of is what he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, he's – I think he's bumping his ceiling. He yeah. bumped his ceiling last year. I don't expect him – and also, you know, Arkansas, what's the wide receiver's name? Burks.
Yeah, Traylon Burks in there.
And a great wide receiver can make a good quarterback look great.
Here's
so,
one for
you.
Know,
who's he going to be?
Would you prefer if you're a casual fan, not just an Ole Miss media guy, but if you're just a casual fan of college football in general, would you rather have KJ Jefferson, the known commodity, going into this year, or Jackson Dart and his upside?
Hey, guys, just want to tell you this podcast, this crossover podcast, is brought to you in part by S&J Custom Framing, where art is a gift of love. S&J Custom Framing is located at 1001 Van Buren Avenue in Oxford. Go see John Adams. John is the owner of S&J Custom. And let me tell you, it's the perfect place to go shopping for the Ole Miss fan or even for yourself because you're Ole Miss fans as well. Ben, they've got great prints inside this store of Ole Miss football. Legendary prints, Dexter McCluster, Chad Kelly, the Mannings, you name it, and they have it at S&J Custom Framing, as well as they can frame any Ole Miss memorabilia or non-Ole Miss memorabilia that you'd like. Great selections of mats and frames in there. John's always willing to work with you on the pricing of things as well. And before we go, let me tell you about their pottery. Peachtree Pottery, Beloved Pottery, Crossroad Pottery. Just some incredible gifts in there. Next time you're in town for the weekend and you're looking for a place to buy some Ole Miss merchandise and art, even pottery, go visit John Adams at S&J Custom Framing, 1001 Van Buren in Oxford.
This podcast is also brought to you in part by Thomas Chandler. Have you ever wondered what you're going to do for retirement, or if you're ever actually going to be able to retire. Well, if so, give my friend Thomas Chandler a call. He specializes in retirement and investment planning and loves helping people plan for their dream. And he can offer you pretty much anything you could possibly need, from mutual funds to employee benefits, college savings plans. Give him a call, 662-296-0186. That's 662-296-0186. And start taking control of your future today with Thomas Chandler. If you haven't already subscribed, rate, review this podcast on iTunes. And when you do, leave a 5-star review. I do not care what you say. Ben, you're too loud. Ben, you're too obnoxious. Ben, you keep interrupting. Whatever it might be, leave a 5-star review. This podcast can be found wherever you get your podcast. Just simply search Talk of Champions on Spotify or SoundCloud, iTunes, you name it. We're there. Stitcher, I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and AffiliateOn3.com. David writes for Inside the Rebels, an affiliate of 247 Sports. Let's hear from a couple of more proud sponsors of Talk of Champions. Your Ole Miss baseball Rebels are national champions. Yes, that really happened. Your eyes did not deceive you. And what better way to celebrate, since we all spent way too much money getting to and back home from Omaha, than with a new car? Well, the only place to buy a car in Oxford, Mississippi is Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. From new and used sales to parts and service, Allen Samuels of Oxford aims to provide a truly stellar automotive experience. And what separates Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from every other dealership is they aim to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. They'll get you in the car you want at a price point that you can afford. Give them a call today, 662-234-8000. Ask for Brian or Mason to tell them Talk of Champions sent you, because now Talk of Champions actually makes sense. Ole Miss baseball won a national championship, and they'll get you in your dream car with your Ole Miss Omaha magnet planted right there on the driver's side door. They're located at 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford. That's 2201 East University Avenue. That's just past Kroger. Contact them today, 662-234-8000. That's Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, a proud sponsor of the national champion Talk of Champions podcast.
BNA Bank is celebrating 125 years of local banking. For generations, BNA Bank has been a stable fixture in Northeast Mississippi, supporting and investing in our local small businesses, local schools, local community events, local charities, and so much more. At BNA Bank, we believe in our local communities, businesses, and organizations because we are a local business, too. Thank you for choosing to bank local with BNA Bank.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That'd be a tough choice. I mean, because we did not see the upside of Jackson Dart this spring. That's just the bottom line. I mean, and, you know, it's kind of blasphemy if, you know, Ole Miss media guys aren't praising what we saw out of Jackson Dart, but I'm going to call it like I see it. I mean, his mechanics didn't look smooth. He looked bothered at times. We saw him lose his composure on the football field. And, you know, that's not good. That's not saying he's a hothead, but – when you're out there in a non-contact jersey and you throw an interception and you're out there blindside blocking guys and you're not supposed to have any contact, that's losing your composure. You know, obviously he wasn't tight with the playbook like he needs to be. I mean, all of those are shortcomings. His feet looked out of sync with his arm. You know, so I mean, it's difficult for me to project how great Jackson Dart can be when, you know, we didn't see that this spring.
So you weren't particularly wowed by the debut, but I don't count spring.
Well, were you wowed by the debut?
Well, no, but I just don't put very much stock into spring, especially for a guy who got here so late and had a lot thrown at him. I mean, it wasn't just Jackson Dart that was new. You had an offensive line that had a bunch of pieces moved around. Jeremy James is playing left tackle now. Nick Broker's becoming a guard. You have a brand new stable of running backs. Wide receivers, you were without most all of them. And, like, Luke Altmyer was better or more consistent than Jackson Dart. But it's not like Luke Altmyer wowed either, if that makes sense. And that's kind of that's par for the course in a quarterback battle, that there is little separation between the two of them to start. You're just going to see, oh, well, he flashed this and he flashed that. When he did flash, you saw what they saw in Jackson Dart when they brought him over from USC, that he could be a next-level type talent because he has that kind of repertoire to
his
game.
Well, he's got great arm power,
yeah.
And there were times he flashed, and you're like, oh, okay.
But his mess-ups, like Jackson Dart's mess-ups were way more – we're way uglier than Luke's because Luke isn't a risk taker like Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart, with his arm talent, believes he can fit a ball in anywhere like Matt Corral did. Matt Corral made those really egregious or very public mistakes as far as turnovers and stuff like that, interceptions. Luke Altmyer is not going to be able to protect the ball more, but also you're not going to get those big splash, flashy plays that typically come with length of an offense with Luke because he's more risk averse than Jackson Dart is.
Well, I'm going to come at you with this. Let me ask you this. Okay, Jackson Dart is, what, 19 years old, maybe 20, second year of college football, and everybody in the country knew he came to Ole Miss with a gargantuan, a huge NIL deal. Now, not huge in relative to some of the stuff that's out there, but still a very big NIL deal. You know, how much of that puts added pressure on a kid to go out there and be perfect when the world knows he's making a lot of money playing football here at Ole Miss? And how fair is that? This is just kind of being the devil's advocate to the NIL. How fair is that to the kid that you know, those kind of weights and expectations are on his shoulders? Now, he's going to walk in front of a podium at a press conference, and you know, that's not the face he puts on. But the question is, does it matter? Is it something that is in his head? And if it is, did that maybe affect his performance in the spring? Was he putting too much pressure on himself?
Man, those birds are going crazy about your Jackson Dart takes. What did you say to set
those
birds up?
Yeah, they like that. They do.
Yeah, they are defending Jackson Dart. You just
so I mean, yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think it plays a role. I think once the whistle is blown. Once a snap, once the first snap is taken, I just don't think it matters anymore. I think initially it does. I just don't think, like, when he's dropping back to pass on a second and eight simulation, he's thinking, oh, God, if I don't complete this to Jonathan Mingo, like, Realtree's going to get mad at me.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I think definitely when he's alone or maybe he's overwhelmed because he had a bad day at practice – and he's thinking about, oh, God, I got to do this, this, and this. That plays into it. But when the snaps happen, when the practices happen, I don't think that plays much of a role. I think it just becomes football. At the end of the day, it becomes football. And when it became football, well, you could see flashes of it. I just don't think either of Luke or Jackson really, once you remove yourself from the spring and all the newness and like, oh, God, it's Jackson Dart. What is he going to look like? When you remove yourself from it, it's not like Luke was astronomically better. Just he didn't make the same kind of egregious mistakes. And the reason why Jackson makes those egregious mistakes when he's not on is because it is new to him. And because, like Matt Corral, he believes he can fit a ball anywhere. Luke doesn't believe that. Luke believes he's got to protect the football, which is good. There's value in that. You have to protect the football first. But I think I would go with the upside of a guy who's got arm talent better than Luke, and that's Jackson Dart, even though I think Luke's going to start. All right.
Yeah,
so,
and
go ahead.
And I've come across maybe a little negative on Jackson Dart, and I want to say this for the record. I, too, believe Jackson Dart wins this job. I do believe that. I do believe Luke Altmyer starts the Troy game. I think that's the way to do it. Both of them are going to get a lot of snaps against Troy. I think both of them will get a lot of snaps against Central Arkansas. And look, let's be honest. Until October gets here, really, who cares who the Rebels quarterback is? Play them both. Let them show us. Play it on Saturdays. Play it out. You know, you need a quarterback when you play your first SEC game against the Kentucky Wildcats. That's when you need a quarterback. And Lane will have one by then. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fortunately, you're in a situation where you are talking about two four-star recruits coming out of high school, okay? Both whose 24/7 sports scouting report talks about their NFL potential. That's who's battling for quarterback. I mean, with all due respect, and he's a great quarterback coach, David Morris is not in the running to become the Ole Miss quarterback this year. You've got two really, really good and capable guys. So, you know, wherever and whichever way it bounces, you're going to be in pretty good shape. You know, that's one of the special things about this team coming up. No, we don't know who the leaders are going to be. No, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be. But the pieces are there. And, you know, I like this team in a lot of the same vein this Ole Miss baseball team just showed us what happened. You know, this is a team that's going to have to learn and gel on the fly. The schedule is conducive for them to doing that. I've already said I think they go to Baton Rouge 7-0. I think they leave Baton Rouge 8-0. Okay? Now, then it's Texas A&M and Alabama, and there's your season right there in front of you.
You really think they're going to be 8-0?
I do. I think this team is going to be 8-0. I mean, their biggest threats in the first eight games are Kentucky, Auburn, and LSU. Those are their biggest threats. They're capable of winning every one of those games. I think this football team is going to be 8-0. That's what my gut
is telling
me. Also
capable of losing every single one of those games.
Well, not every one of them, but all three of those, yes, absolutely. They're definitely capable of doing that, but the defense, look, I know is going to be a lot better. And you know, I realize on the defensive side, you know, they know they need another linebacker or two. And they're still trying, obviously, but it hasn't worked out yet. But it's still got time to work itself out this month. And the secondary is deep, experienced, and talented. The defensive front is as deep as it was in 2014 and 2015 when the Rebels went to back-to-back New Year's Six bowl games. So that is all a strength. On offense, from a talent standpoint, they're better pretty much everywhere on the field. Now, that's where your new guys come in, and they've got to come together in jail. I think this is a team that the Kentucky game really worries me, okay, because I don't know if they will have fully found themselves by that point of the season, but by the back end of the season, if they stay healthy, they're going to be one of the toughest outs in the country. I think they're 8-0. I think, you know, with the trip to College Station and then Alabama, I mean, that's your season. You want to win a national title in football, you got to win in College Station, and you got to beat those boys from Tuscaloosa this year. And if you do that, your last two games are Arkansas and Mississippi State, and I don't have a schedule in front of me. I'm doing this from memory. You're better than both of those programs. You should win both of those. And my gosh, no, 12-0 is not out of the question.
David,
the problem is 7-5 is not out of the question either.
Yeah,
and that's what makes this such an intriguing season. But if I had to pick them right now, I'm banking on Lane is going to figure out his quarterback situation, and it's going to be a good fit when he figures it out. Two, these kids are going to come together, pull together, and play as team, as a team. And that's probably the wildest bet I'm making here, because we just don't know how the NIL is going to fit inside the locker room. We do not know. Look, I can tell you this. I know for a fact we've got guys that have been on this roster 4 years that are going to be asked to contribute this year that are not making one red cent of NIL money. If the guy next to him is driving a brand new pickup truck and is living high off the hog, could that become an issue? Absolutely, it could become an issue. It damn well could become an issue. We don't know how that's going to fit and how it's going to play. I mean, that's this era of college football, and we just don't know. Now, hopefully everything fits together perfectly and everybody's happy and everybody is on a run. And I do think that's what's going to happen. I think this team is going to start the season 8-0, and then we go to College Station for the biggest game of the year, probably the biggest game in Ole Miss football history in forever, with like a real title on the line. And then you got to do it again next week against Alabama. So, yeah, that's what I'm feeling right now. I'm not discounting Lane Kiffin's staff for being able to put all this together and create a hell of a run this fall.
I got two more. Who's Mr. Versatile? The glue guy like Justin Bench. You can't live without him. But he's not technically like a superstar. He's not the face, but he's irreplaceable. He's a guy that you have to have that can play anywhere, that can do anything, wear a lot of hats if you need him to. Who's that guy?
I've already talked about him. It's J.J. Pegues. J.J. is going to be a dominant force on the interior of the Ole Miss defensive line. Look, and if you want to be honest, we haven't had a dominant force on the interior of the Ole Miss defensive line since a guy named Jarrell Pope. All right? J.J. has the potential to be better than Jarrell. And, you know, he's big. He's fast. He's athletic. He's everything you want. And then also, I think on the offensive side in short yarded situations, Lane is not going to hesitate to put J.J. in as an H-back or as a true tight end, and I think he's going to wreak havoc there. I mean, you saw him score a touchdown in the Grove Bowl this year on something they just drew up in the sand. They put him in and said, go out for a pass, go here, he's going to hit you. And it worked perfectly. He practiced throughout the spring on the offensive side of the football in short yardage situations as well. So, yeah, I think J.J. Pegues is capable of being the glue, the guy everybody's going to love from a personality standpoint. The kid is incredible. He is an awesome, awesome kid. And you can't help but to pull for J.J., hometown guy. And, yeah, that's my answer, J.J. Pegues, definitively.
And the stud freshman, I've got Davison Igbinosin as the Hunter Elliott for Ole Miss football.
No doubt about it. I mean, and Davison is playing in the secondary. And there's a lot of rotation. He's going to get his opportunities back there. He is a very, very intelligent football player. He understands the game. He anticipates quarterbacks' actions. I'm with you. Davison Igbinosin, I'm 1,000%.
What do you make of this Brennan Chapman stuff on Twitter?
Well, I saw that this morning, and I love Brennan. And I know Brennan.
That's my dude.
And Brennan is a wise character. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't believe it. That's what I make of it.
I just hadn't heard anything like that. I knew that there was transcript issues, but I haven't heard anything like that. I mean, that would be scandalous if that were the case. But, like, I haven't heard that myself.
Well, it certainly looks like Deion is going to, you know, set up shop at East Mississippi Community College this fall.
And then come to Ole Miss the next year.
But we are talking about Deion. So, he has demonstrated a checkered record when it comes to schools. So, you know, we wish him the best and would love to have him in Oxford one day.
Here, for people who don't know what I'm talking about, Brennan, my buddy Brennan, me and Dave's buddy Brennan, at Brennan Chapman, just talked to a friend still in the industry. He used to be in the college, in the Ole Miss football recruiting office at Brennan. Just talked to a friend still in the industry in a while. The next big story in college sports should be about what Brian Kelly, the LSU head coach, is doing to Deion Smith. Released his transcript. I can't even speak this morning. Let the kid play. From what I've been told, a JUCO went to LSU to pay the money to get his transcript. LSU said he owed $7,000 to get it. They waited 2 hours to get it. They had cash in hand. LSU came back 2 hours later and said it would cost $22,000 to get the kid's transcript. I've never heard of such. Have you?
$22,000 to get a transcript. The only way I can justify that is like Dion was parking his car in the middle of the quad every day of the week. And got a bunch of parking tickets, or Dion went to the library and stole a set of encyclopedias and crashed a couple of computers. I mean, come on, man, 22K. Are you freaking kidding me? That's un-American. That's communism.
That's why I don't know. Not that I don't believe it. I do think there's some truth to it. I've never heard of such. I don't know where to even begin, where to start. Right.
No, I would, if I'm Deion Smith, I've got an attorney that is dealing with LSU, and I'm going to sue the hell out of LSU for my transcripts plus about $250,000 for my pain and suffering. I mean, you know, and we're talking about this as it's true, if it's true. That's what we're saying. You know, and it's really hard to believe in some regards. We've all heard the crazy stories that LSU would sink to that level. You know, particularly in this day and age where, you know, there's not doing anything under the covers. Everybody knows what you're doing. So that's kind of wild right there. But we shall see what happens.
So what are you going to do in this last week before everything kicks back up crazy again, outside of celebrate July 4th and your birthday? You going to do anything special?
Nothing really special today.
Hot
other than
Springs,
I'm gonna do
obviously.
Some work. Yeah, getting up in the morning, going to Hot Springs, Arkansas. I haven't been since my wife and I were talking about this last night. Last time I've been to Hot Springs, Eli was 10 and Sydney was 8, and Tori was not even thought of.
Wow.
So we're going back with Eli and Tori Kate. Sydney's got to stay and work. And I'm just going to rest and relax, ponder the Ole Miss Rebels a little bit, and get ready for this stretch run because you know how it is.
Take my advice. Don't think about the Ole Miss Rebels at all while you're gone.
Well, I might a little bit, but just to get ready for when I get back, because you know how it is. From mid-July, essentially till Christmas Eve, we don't have a day off. It's 7 days a week. I mean, look, we're lucky. We've got the best jobs in the world. I will say that. Very blessed to be able to do this. But it is a grind. From July through December, basically. I mean, really through January. And really all the way through February. Even though that last signing day doesn't really matter anymore. You know, it's more just kind of pomp and circumstance. They're going to eventually do away with that, I think. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax. I'm going to swim. I'm going to eat some German food. Just because I've really never been to a German restaurant before. Imagine there'll be a little beer drinking as well.
I've actually been to a German. I've been to a German restaurant in Germany.
Cool.
And buddy, it was the wildest food experience ever. It's like goblets of drink and plates of just all the meats you can imagine. And we were like sitting in this restaurant. And there were just tables, big, huge tables, like Game of Thrones, or maybe you remember that. None of you remember this, of course you don't. But the Great Hall in Hogwarts, where all the houses sat, it was like these huge, long tables, and everybody was sitting there. Yeah. And we were just all eating this massive amount of meat and drinking all this beer. It was wild.
You were in a beer hall.
It was a full on beer hall. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, well, so that's what I'm going to do, man. The big question is, did it taste good?
Well, for me, you put enough beer in me, pretty much anything can taste good food-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think my opinion was skewered because I might have already been drunk.
Well, then we're going to take Tori, our 8-year-old.
That's what I want to know. I don't care how you respond to it.
We're going to spend an entire day at Magic Springs, the amusement park, and Crystal Springs, the water park. We're going to do the amusement park in the morning. And we're going to do the water park in the afternoon.
And then German sausages to wash it all down.
Yeah, yeah. And I can rent a scooter for the amusement park for $37.
No.
And trust me, that's $37 I'm going to spend.
Really?
I'm going to get a scooter. Hell yeah.
Okay, wait. Is it a full-on scooter, or is it one of those like deals you ride around in Walmart? Is it one of those like a Rascal or a scooter?
No. No picture, but described as a scooter. on the website.
Well, I've got to warn you. You're 51 years old now, okay? And Chuck, when he went to Omaha, did you know about this? What happened to Chuck?
I don't know.
Oh, you're learning about this in real time? Good. I don't care if Chuck should have told me.
Chuck may not have shared this. I don't know.
Okay. In Omaha, on pretty much every corner downtown, you can rent these scooters, these literal scooters that were green and white.
Oh, yeah. He wrecked it, right?
Yes. He got on one and faceplated and cracked his ribs, which, okay. Once I said, oh, God, are you okay? Yeah, I'm hurting. He's still hurting, but he's recovering. That is still objectively hilarious that a 60-year-old man thought it was a good idea to hop on a scooter in a foreign town to him and ride around like he's freaking 18 years old. Oh, he's going to do ollies on this thing? Like, why are you on a scooter?
Man, wow.
I can't have you falling too. I can't have you cracking ribs too. Just don't get on a scooter if it doesn't look like it was meant for David Johnson. Don't get on it.
Yeah, well, $37 and, that's a pretty big park over there with a lot of hills. I'm getting a scooter, man.
I'm going to get a call from you going, Ben, okay, you're right. I've cracked my ribs.
Yeah, I may ride the scooter down the water slide or something. Who knows?
Yeah, might as well. You and Chuck going all YOLO on scooters. Go for it, man. I mean, the world is your oyster. You only live once, right?
Hey, I'm going to tell you, this is my laid-back, relaxed getaway. I went to New York City in March. Oh, my God.
That's not a relaxing trip. No.
It was nice. Holy shit, that's where I needed a scooter. Man, good God, we could be walking to dinner. And my oldest daughter, Sydney, was with us, so she's kind of the captain of the trip. She's planned everything out. So we go to eat at this place called Junior's Cheesecakes.
Oh, yeah.
Famous restaurant. All right. Yeah. So she's got it pulled up on the maps just right around the corner, right? 4.5 mile walk one way, Ben. 4.5 mile walk. I walked 9 miles that night to eat a freaking piece of cheesecake.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
starving to death when I got back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, me and Emily stayed for Christmas a couple years ago. We stayed on 34th, right near Macy's. And I looked up because I wanted to go eat at this spot that I ate at when my brother used to live in New York. And it was in Greenwich Village. And it said it was only 1.3 miles. Well, in New York, because you walk everywhere. You're like, oh, 1.3 miles, I do that working out. Yeah, but you don't leisurely just walk 1.3 miles.
No, not in New York City where, you know, it's person to person, shoulder to shoulder. It's a job.
Yeah, so by the time we got to that little pizza spot, John's Pizza, I think is what it was. Once we finally got to that pizza spot, I honestly felt like, I just crossed the Sahara Desert or something, you know?
Well, you know, my biggest deal is every 10 feet, I'm making sure nobody stole my wallet. I got an eye on my wife's purse.
Rome is worse about that than anywhere. My dad actually had his wallet taken out of his pocket by a woman who had a baby in her hand and was doing the whole, please help, sir, but really she was just pickpocketing. So, I don't know. Like, New York, I don't feel that way, during the day especially. But, you know, you go overseas, there's some places where it gets pretty sketchy pretty quick. That's a very southern thing to go to New York and think, oh God, my wallet. Come on.
Well,
man.
You're fine. Again, the worst city. I hate to bring this up on the 4th of July, but because it's played a great role in American history.
Okay.
The worst city I've ever set foot in, period. I've been to Chicago, New York, you name it, I've been there. The worst city ever, Baltimore, Maryland. Baltimore, oh my God.
I thought you were going to say Philly. People, I'm going to be honest. The way you set that up to talk about, I thought you were going to say Philly.
I was in Philly back in March as well. But, you know, I really didn't get off the main drag. But Baltimore, I was there. I was there in March too, but I knew better than get off the interstate. But in 2019, when we were in Baltimore, oh my God, we were going to some freaking cake bacon place that's on the Food Network, Ace of Cakes or something. Drugs everywhere, homeless people everywhere. I mean, we got lost because we immediately got back in the car and said, oh, hell no, we're not doing this. So I'm like, okay, we're here. I want to go see Edgar Allan Poe's burial site. So I put that into the little Google Maps thing. And oh my God, for the next 5 miles, nothing but blight. And it looked like a war-torn city in Europe after World War II. I mean, buildings burned out, people living in the burned out buildings. People,
yeah, the vacants, the just like the Wire said, the vacants. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was horrible. It was horrible. And man, we got out of Baltimore, got to the Edgar Allan Poe burial site, and it was no better. I mean, it was packed with homeless people and drug addicts, and you know, just it was just terrible. And I got the hell out of there. And
other than that, later, though, great trip to Baltimore for you and your family, apparently.
Oh yeah. Well, I know. Yeah, and people were like, "Oh man, you just didn't go the right part. You should have went down to the ocean front or whatever the heck they call it." And I'm like, nope, I'm done. So we packed our bags and drove on to little tiny Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which is much more my speed.
Yeah, well, you love that old war stuff. Thing is Omaha was a little like that. Not like Baltimore bad, but there was homeless people everywhere. And I remembered in 2014 Omaha being this magical baseball mecca, which, by the way, baseball is stupid. I'm talking about professional baseball, too. You got college baseball world, the College Baseball Hall of Fame in Lubbock, Texas. You've got the Professional Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Omaha should be where all of baseball is. It should be the baseball mecca. Because once you get out of downtown, it's really run down, too. It's these really old houses, these really old neighborhoods and stuff like that. There are a lot of homeless people. It's not what I remembered, but then I thought, good Lord, you could revitalize this entire place if you just made Omaha the place that you go for baseball. You can move Cooperstown here. You can move the College Hall of Fame here. You can have the World Series here, because when you go to the World Series, I went to the Braves and the Astros last year. They play games in Atlanta and in Houston. It doesn't feel like you're going into an event. It feels like you're just going into another Braves game when you're there. Now, on TV, it's different because it's production, but like the Super Bowl, they play the Super Bowl in Dallas, in Los Angeles. I mean, it's only been one time has an NFL team participant in the Super Bowl played in their home stadium and won it, and that was the Rams last year. You know what I mean? So, like, why would Omaha not try to become baseball mecca, to where people would come in the offseason to go to the Hall of Fames and to watch all the different Omaha needs to be where baseball is. If that makes any sense. Because I felt like it was a lot like that. And Ole Miss wins a national championship in a place I thought this was this magical place, and then I'm going back home to this like monster house Airbnb that I thought was haunted.
Well, I have one question for you. What in the heck is the College Baseball Hall of Fame in Lubbock, Texas for?
I found that out while I was in Omaha, man. Jeff Robertson told me that. I don't get it. It's in the middle of nowhere. What is it in Lubbock for?
Texas Tech and the fine city of Lubbock, there is nothing.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Omaha. See, every baseball player should aspire to get to Omaha. Think about that. Why is it that it's Omaha? Just because they put the stadium there and they started playing games there. They could have put it in Topeka and said, oh, I just got to get to Topeka. But they randomly picked Omaha. All right, we'll make Omaha baseball mecca. Every baseball player wants to get to Omaha. Because when you walk up to the stadium, downtown is amazing. It feels like you're walking into baseball heaven. When you walk into Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium, you thought you were crossing over into another time and place. You feel like you're walking into heaven. Now, new Yankee Stadium, it's fine. It's all it is an updated, modernized version of old Yankee Stadium. But it doesn't have the same gravitas, the same history and lore to it.
Okay, I'm going to be on a mission today. This is my birthday job. I got to find out why in the hell somebody put the Baseball Hall of Fame in Lubbock, Texas.
In Lubbock, Texas.
And I'm just saying, folks, look, Texas is a great state from Dallas East. But on the other side of Dallas,
dude, Texas sucks.
Abilene, Lubbock, Odessa, Midland, and nothing.
Texas sucks because it's so hot, and you can't just like go to the grocery store in Texas. Everything's 30 minutes from where you are.
That just blows me away.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody could easily start another College Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Anywhere else other than Lubbock.
Omaha.
And the attendance numbers would be 3, 4, 5, 10 times as much.
How many people do you think on a daily basis actually go to the College Baseball Hall of Fame? It's like going to the Barrel Museum, you know? How many people really go to a Barrel Museum?
Hey, I'm for moving that joker to Mississippi.
Move it to Omaha. Move Cooperstown to Omaha. Play the World Series in Omaha. Do all the baseball things in Omaha. Make it Baseball Town USA, David. Tell me that's not a good idea.
No, Baseball Hall of Fame. But look, here's one. Right. Obviously, back-to-back national championships for the two Mississippi SEC schools. Delta State won a national championship in 2004 in baseball.
Yeah,
I mean, a Pearl River Community College just won a national championship. So if you're throwing a dart at a map in the state of Mississippi, you can't count Jackson. Crime is too bad there. Where would you put it?
Tupelo.
Why Tupelo?
Because it's in between State and Oxford.
Yes. Well, so is Bruce.
How about New Albany? New Albany, Mississippi. Maybe that'll bring some actually good restaurants to my hometown. New Albany.
Yeah.
I mean, Lubbock's about the same. Lubbock's about, we're talking nonsense now. This has been another crossover podcast. I'm Ben Garrett. He's David Johnson at Spirit Ben at Rebels 247. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit on 3. He writes for Inside the Rebels 247. We'll be back. I don't know when we'll be back this week because it's the last week and you're going away. I'm going out for a few days, but hopefully we'll do another one this week. If not, I'll see you next week, buddy.
Hey, it sounds good. Happy birthday, America. And a shout out to all the veterans who have done what you've done throughout the course of American history. Thank you.
Please don't fall on a scooter.
I'm not, man. I'm good. I'm good. I think you can rent a helmet too.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.